From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. The Biden administration announced today intentions to reinstate protections for the Tongass National Forest. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, it's the latest twist in a long-running battle over logging and other development on federal lands in southeast Alaska.
The roadless rule restricts development on federal forest lands. But from the get-go, it's been opposed by successive governors seeking to exempt the Tongass National Forest and what's historically been the heart of Alaska's timber industry. The Trump administration announced a full exemption last year, and that prompted environmentalists, fishermen, and tribes to sue to overturn the decision. So Friday's announcement is the latest twist in this 20-year saga, and reactions have been mixed. Robert Venables of Southeast Conference, a regional civic and business organization, says the federal government's changing posture leads to uncertainty over who will have access to Southeast Alaska's natural resources and for how long.
It's very disappointing to see the continual back and forth every 4 years.
Others lauded the announcement, which they say could protect prized salmon and deer habitat.
We, of course, as Native people, we are tied to the land.
That's Tribal President Joel Jackson speaking from the Kuprinoff Island village of Cake in the heart of the Tongass, where his community hunts, fishes, and gathers much of its food.
We go shopping in our forests and on our waters to get our food, traditional food that we eat mostly. So it's important that we have the old growth timber.
The Biden administration has cited its January executive order on climate change as the reasoning behind the decision. Studies have shown the nearly 17 million acre national forest is a major carbon sink. Austin Williams, legal and policy director of Trout Unlimited's Alaska office, says that gives the Tongass global significance.
You know, there's absolutely no reason for us to continue to clear cut log old growth forest. It's a critically important resource and something that we need to be taking much better care of.
Alaska's Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy took to social media to decry the announcement, pledging to use every tool available to push back against the Biden administration's decision. U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski, a key proponent to rolling back the roadless rule, also criticized the decision. It remains unclear what will happen next. It took the Trump administration nearly 2 years to undergo a full rulemaking process that included public hearings and formal consultations to rewrite the rules. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
In other news, Glacier Bay National Park and Preserve broke ground last week on a $6.5 million project to connect the park to renewable hydroelectric power by the end of the year. Park officials say the project is in keeping with Obama-era initiatives to move government agencies off of fossil fuels. The park currently runs on generators that burn tens of thousands of gallons of diesel per year. Project managers estimate the switch to hydroelectric will reduce the park's annual greenhouse gas emissions by 600 tons. The project will connect the park to Gustavus's existing hydroelectric infrastructure at Falls Creek. Park officials say the interconnected grid will result in lowered energy costs for Gustavus residents and redundancy for the park and the city. The federally funded project is a public-private partnership between the National Park and regional energy and telecoms provider Alaska Power and Telephone. AP&T will maintain the system for the park. Now to Haines, where for the first time in years, the Fort William H. Seward Barracks building will be open to the community for a public auction with some of the items dating back to the 1940s. The effort is largely to clean out the building in order to start renovations. But there may be some treasures, too. KHNS's Corin Smith delivers this sneak peek.
The Fort Seward Barracks has a haunted feel. It's a massive two-story white building dotted with small dark rectangular windows. It's a relic left over from the Klondike Gold Rush, and it later became an important staging post during the U.S. military's Pacific campaign against Imperial Japan after the attack on Pearl Harbor. But it was decommissioned in 1947. Now, for decades, it's been closed off and used as community storage. But that'll change this weekend when the Port Chilkoot Company will auction off abandoned items. Christina Biscaya says there's a trove of stuff that's been stockpiled here since the 1940s.
The items available are as varied as the people that stored them here. We have the army to artists to fishermen to home cooks, to construction. So there's something for everyone here.
Biscay's grandparents were part of the group of veterans who purchased Fort Seward after it was decommissioned, sight unseen. The remaining family are shareholders in the Port Chilkoot Company, which still owns Fort Seward, located just south of downtown Haines. And she grew up in one of the former officers' homes overlooking the barracks. She says she loves old buildings as she leads the way up a flight of steep stairs to a huge second-floor ballroom.
These are like the authentic stairs and plates from the Army days. And so if you can see, it's actually like in really good condition here.
There are large piles of items spread out across the room, each labeled with a lot number. For a $10 buy-in, people can walk through and take a look at each pile, then later place their bids at the live auction. The idea is also to take a chance on what's out of sight or packed away in boxes.
I like the show Storage Wars, which is what people sell the abandoned property out of storage units, and it's all kind of a competition and bidding wars and stuff, so it was fun.
There are paintings, trunks, children's toys, bikes, and an 8-foot-tall harp case in the corner.
The crank telephone would be good for the antiques collectors. We also have some of the old bowling pins from the fort. They used to have a bowling alley in the Fort Seward Lodge, and they may have done even some bowling in here. But some bowling pins, we have furniture, and there's actually some good furniture in here. But the exciting thing is we don't even know all that's what's stored in here. That's where the treasure aspect comes in.
The auction's proceeds will go toward renovations, but it's more so to clean out the space, says Biscaya. It's a long-term project for the building. So far, they've partnered with the National Park Service to feature historical plaques, and they've painted the exterior and refurbished windows. Biscaya says besides storage, the possibilities for community use are wide open.
I know that's a million-dollar question, but I don't know if the question is what any one person can really, the vision. Like I said, it's almost 40,000 square feet of space, and so it could really host a lot.
The event is this Sunday, June 13th, starting with the tour at 2 p.m. and live auction at 3 p.m. In Haines, I'm Corinne Smith.
Now up north, this weekend kicks off the Kugruk Whaling Festival in Point Hope. Every year, people come from around the region for a 3-day feast to celebrate the annual subsistence haul of the whaling season. KOTZ's Wesley Early has more on this year's harvest.
Rex Rock Sr. says he's been whaling his whole life. The 60-year-old Point Hope captain says this year's whaling season kicked off in early spring.
Early April, we went out. The lead was further out this year.
Rock explained the lead is the term for the crack in the sea ice that hunters follow to track the whales. He says this year's lead was about 7 miles outside town.
We were able to get there. I was just happy that Russell, J.J. Lead, was able to land the first whale. They always say that once you strike and land the first whale, everything else is going to fall into place.
Point Hope whaling captains ended up landing 11 bowheads this year, a great year in Rock's book. With the hauling period over, Point Hope is preparing for the 3-day Kugruk Whaling Festival. Rock says over the first 2 days, captains will haul the whaling boats up and show off their crew's flags before cutting up the whale for the large communal feast.
First day is what we call cookie. Second day, they have a lookin, and then the third day, we have an all-day cookout. So we invite everybody to come up and sample all the food that we've been blessed with this spring.
For many Inupiaq residents of Northwest Alaska, this year's Kugruk will be the first major community event since the COVID-19 pandemic began.
I don't think it feels much different, right? Because we feel blessed when we go out to whale and provide for our community, not only our community, but cousins in the outlying villages. Definitely we share the whale with everyone that wants a taste.
Kugruk begins on Sunday and will conclude Tuesday evening. Reporting in Kotzebue, I'm Wesley Early.
Governor Mike Dunleavy's former chief of staff, Ben Stevens, had minimal email contact with officials from ConocoPhillips before he left for a job at the oil company. That's according to a trove of Stevens' correspondence released this week. Interest groups and some Alaska lawmakers have been scrutinizing Stevens' move from state service to the private sector. For more on this and other news stories, you can go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.